There are many, many factors that affect the quality of life for retirees. Some retirees themselves can control, but other factors like government pensions, tax rules, and investment industry regulation are in the hands of politicians. Today, we talked to one of the people trying to influence policy at the national level. Juana Morris is the vice president of advocacy for CARP, formerly known as the Canadian Association of Retired Persons. She joins us from Surrey, BC. Hello there.
Hi there.
What is the number one thing people should know about CARP, the new CARP, the contemporary CARP?
We are the primary voice for individuals 55 and over. And when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to financial security, and when it comes to speaking out against ageism, we are that group.
You did a bunch of research of your members on the investment industry. And there were a couple of interesting findings, at least for me. 79% support the elimination of embedded fees, including 40% who are in strong support of that. I was surprised by this result because I would have thought that many seniors would have been more concerned about the risk of less access to financial advice. What did you infer from that number yourself?
You know, I think the results of the poll in general were striking in how strong the majorities were. You know, it wasn't just that people wanted us to do this. They really want us to step in and advocate in the area of investor protection. You know, in terms of embedded fees, it's an interesting question because we know that when those fees go down, or, you know, when embedded fees are eliminated, that the actual cost of advice can go up. But what happens is the overall cost to the investors frequently goes down because people are paying a little bit more for advice, but they're getting far less expensive products. So their total investment cost goes down, and I think they're far better served as well.
89% of CARP members polled support a best interest standard. What would be different from today if that best interest standard were introduced? Because when when you read more about it, you think, I thought everybody already did this stuff, but they don't.
And Bruce, you really put your finger on a big part of the problem is that so many of our members assume that they are being treated as if their advisors were subject to a best interest standard. So the deal is that right now, any investment advisor has to meet a suitability standard. So they are required to provide recommendations for investment products that are suitable to their clients. But the thing is, you can have a range of suitable products that pay very, very different fees to advisors. So, for example, an index fund that pays a 0.25% return and a mutual fund that pays a 2.5% commission. Those have those could be equally suitable. Now, it's obviously in the client's best interest to be paying far less for product fees, but with a suitability standard, there's nothing that requires the advisor to sell it.
The embedded fees question is a very, very hot potato politically. How would you characterize your conversations with investment industry people?
You know, it's very interesting, and I realize that the advocates have a lot at stake, but I would say that their arguments are paternalistic. You know, for example, one of the ones that we heard is, well, you know, we really don't want people to know how much they're paying for advice, because if they realized how much they were paying, they wouldn't pay it, and we know that people do much better when they actually get financial advice. I mean, to me, that's frankly a ludicrous argument. I don't know how someone can say that with a straight face. The reality is, if you can't sell your services with the client knowing full well what they're paying, then the problem isn't with the business model. The problem is with the value proposition. You don't have enough value there.
And there are a couple of markets in the world, the UK being the most notable, where embedded fees were eliminated. And there were a number of consequences intended and otherwise, but a lot of advisors left the industry, and there were people who were left with, if not no ability or a tougher time getting financial advice.
So your point is absolutely valid. In the UK, when embedded fees were eliminated, we saw the number of advisors there go from 40,000 to 31,000. So no wonder that the lobby groups are opposing this, because who wants to see a 25% reduction in their revenues? But what we have to do first and foremost is look at what's in the best interest of the client. And when people know the fees that they're paying, that's ideal. Then they can manage, then they can make the best investment decisions. And I also really don't buy the line about there being an investment gap, this idea of a financial advice gap that right now, it implies that right now everybody who wants it has access to a financial advisor, but if this happened sometime in the future, people wouldn't. The reality is just not that simple. Right now, there are many people who don't have access to a financial advisor, and I think it also really overlooks the rise of financial technology, fintech or robo-advising, where people can get access to quality advice. I would liken it to, you know, rather than having a catered meal, they can order off a menu. For many people, it makes much more sense to order something off a menu at a much cheaper price than pay for some catered specific meal or array of investments.
You mentioned a bunch of the other options out there, robo funds or robo advisors, exchange traded funds, there are low fee mutual funds. Why doesn't CARP put its energy on improving the awareness and adoption of those options that already exist?
Well, we are first and foremost an advocacy organization. So our work is to try to change the system and make that work better for our members. But we do have a secondary role as an educator. So we're have you know provided some information. I'd love to share one of our resources, which is called the Top Investor Traps, where we really do talk about the issues with some of the financial products that are out there, and people can download it on our site, carp.ca/resources. We are also happy to work with industry partners. We've, you know, had a number who have used our sister organization, Zoomer Media, to advertise and to promote awareness of their products. I think that's great.
Mm. The third data point that I want to bring up from your survey, 89% agree or strongly agree that regulating titles used by people selling investments to the public would help make investors more informed investment decisions. Duh. Of course, I'm not surprised by this one. Why do you think it's taking so long?
You know, it's no surprise that it's taking so long because we are really threatening the financial industry here. We've got, you know, a number of individuals and their firms whose employment, whose business model is based on presenting themselves as having some expertise that they really don't. One of the areas where we've seen a lot of pushback is in our call to have people that are simply salespeople identified as such.
Mm.
And I think that will go a long way. You know, if you think about somebody walking onto a car dealership, you don't expect the Ford dealer to give you, you know, the best deal of any car in the country. They're going to talk to you about the best Ford for your needs. And that makes sense. That's why they're a Ford salesperson. So I think it's very legitimate for there to be, you know, salespeople for different financial institutions. But when you go to a financial advisor, that individual should be able to look at sort of the universe of products available and recommend what's truly in your best interest.
Right. I'm in my 40s, and one day, someday, I'm going to be in your target group, God willing. But I don't want to think about it. How do you get the younger generations engaged in something that won't be clearly relevant to them for a while? 55? What is that 55? That seems awfully young.
Well, first of all, let me just say that you could join CARP even now and take advantage of all our great benefits as well as supporting the advocacy that we do. The other thing that is
there a discount on Grecian formula and hair coloring for men? Could I get a discount on that?
Yeah.
No, that's probably an ageist comment that I just made right there. How terrible.
At least you have hair.
I do. Hooray for me.
I think that, you know, one of the things that I really love about working with our cohort is that so much of the work they do is not for themselves but for others. You know, we were a huge voice in terms of introducing the changes to the Canada Pension Plan and fought very hard before that for the Ontario Pension Plan. And our members weren't going to benefit from that. They were just looking at their own situations and saying, you know, no future seniors should be in this situation. They should have more, you know, more choices, more financial security than we had. So I think, you know, anything that our members do, they're looking, you know, not only for how does it serve themselves, but also how will this serve my children and grandchildren.
Well, Wanda, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Before I go, I just want to give a shout out to our investor protection campaign, because what we know is squeaky wheels get the grease. If your listeners could log on to CARP.ca, protect my savings, and add their voices calling for a best interest standard, the elimination of embedded fees, and regulation of titles.
Thank you for that plug. Wanda Morris, Vice President of Advocacy for CARP.